It is Tuesday, April 11th, and this is VOA's International Edition. I'm Sarah Williams in Washington. Coming up, U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson arrives in Moscow for talks with Russian leaders.
Both the United States and Britain really wanted Secretary Tillerson to be armed with sanctions.
Amnesty International says China executed more people in 2016 than it originally admitted, and singer Harry Styles releases a new single. It's all ahead. U.S. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson arrived in Moscow Tuesday with no targeted sanctions Washington and London had hoped he would have in his bid to convince Russia to abandon Syrian President Bashar al-Assad. G7 ministers meeting Tuesday in the Italian city of Lucca failed to agree on sanctions against the Russian and Syrian military. I spoke with VOA Europe correspondent Luis Ramirez and asked him about the failure of U.S. and British officials to obtain tougher measures against Russia and Syria.
That's right, Sarah, and it's a very tricky visit for Secretary Tillerson. Both the United States and Britain really wanted Secretary Tillerson to be armed with sanctions, with something powerful to take to the Russians to say, look, you need to cut off your ties with Assad. He's bad news. He's going to bring you nothing but problems. And instead, the G7 partners didn't go along with it, and the reason for that is they said they want to see confirmation of the reports of the chemical attack. Not that anyone doubts that it happened, but rather more information as to who was behind it, who knew about it, who helped carry it out.
Now, though apparently there are reports that, quote, unidentified senior U.S. officials saying Russia had prior knowledge of the attack that killed these many people.
Yes, and those reports are based on intelligence that Russian officials were present at the base and that certainly had an opportunity to see the stockpiles of those chemical weapons that were used. The senior official who leaked this is not identifying himself for rather obvious reasons, but that has certainly fueled the United States' determination to get Russia to abandon Assad.
Is it known if Mr. Tillerson will be meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin?
There have been conflicting reports on whether he will or not. Certainly nothing official on the agenda. If that meeting happens, it will be a surprise.
Because I believe other foreign ministers have tried or are hoping to have meetings with Russian officials as well.
Sure, and certainly as a matter of protocol, when Secretary of State, being what is effectively the foreign minister of the United States, would travel to Russia, he would meet with his counterpart, not with an official higher than him. Although it is not uncommon for the president of Russia or any other nation to meet with the Secretary of State. In this case, things are at least at the outset being kept at the minister's level.
That's VOA Europe correspondent Luis Ramirez speaking from London. Well, joining me here in the studio is social media editor Andrew Palshevsky. So, Andrew, what's going on?
So the fallout continues from that United Airlines video that we talked about yesterday. Of course, the passenger in that video being dragged from a plane after he was asked to give up his seat because the flight was oversold. This has been a PR nightmare for United Airlines, and now it's becoming a business nightmare for United Airlines. The passenger that was dragged off the plane, David Dao, is a Vietnamese immigrant. And so throughout Asia now, the video is gaining a lot of traction, going viral, and allegations are surfacing of racism against United Airlines. A lot of people in Asia saying that this man was targeted because of his race. In China, the video is getting millions of views on Chinese social media site Weibo, and that's especially troubling for United Airlines. They've sought in recent months and years to build their presence in China, expand the number of flights that they're doing to China. So potentially some business implications there. And then, of course, on social media, everyone's having fun with this, using this hashtag, New United Airlines Mottos. So everything from so much for the friendly skies to fight or flight. To one instance that was particularly unfortunate for United Airlines. They updated their app, their mobile app for their United Airlines booking and flight time app. And when you updated the app, it says new version supports a new drag and drop feature. Unfortunate language and unfortunate timing, considering this man was pulled from his seat and dragged through the plane. But as we said, United is just not having a very good week, and it's showing throughout social media.
Yeah. Anything else trending?
Yes. It's National Pet Day today in the United States. Yesterday was National Sibling Day. Today's National Pet Day. A lot of people posting pictures of their pets, but also a lot of animal advocates pointing out you should adopt a pet rather than purchase one and not be cruel to animals. So don't be cruel to animals or siblings.
Sounds like good advice.
Yes.
Thanks very much, Andrew. That's social media editor Andrew Pelshevsky. Here are some of the top news stories trending. President Donald Trump gives the okay for Montenegro to join NATO. Former President Barack Obama and German Chancellor Angela Merkel will speak at a Protestant event next month. Turkey says autopsies show the nerve gas sarin was used last week in the Syrian attack, and a new French refugee camp burns down after a massive gang fight. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on the voanews.com website. This is VOA.
This is Science in a Minute.
According to NASA, the universe is composed of three things. About 5% is normal matter, 25% is dark matter, and the remaining 70% is dark energy. Now, a Hungarian and American team of scientists have released a new study that suggests dark energy may not even exist at all. They find that the standard models of our universe developed over the last 50 years depends on mathematical approximations to Einstein's equations, but fails to explain its changing structure. Unlike current conventional simulations that show the universe smoothly and evenly expanding, the researchers developed a new model that took the changing structure of the universe and that various regions of space expand at different rates into consideration. The researchers say their newly constructed model shows no need to factor in the use of the mysterious dark energy. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
This is International Edition on the Voice of America. I'm Sarah Williams. Coming up, Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai appears at the UN. We'll have a report. The rights group Amnesty International Tuesday said it believes China put thousands of people to death last year through the use of capital punishment. A precise figure remains elusive, it said, because of a lack of complete transparency. The group, which opposes capital punishment, said it's confident China executed far more people than the 1,032 documented in all other countries in 2016. Amnesty researcher and author of the report, William Nee, explained to International Edition's Victor Beatty how it knows with confidence the extent of executions in China.
We come about this through a mixture of monitoring media reports, looking at government documents, talking to stakeholders in China and outside of China to assess the situation. There were fairly credible professors within the Chinese system who also said that, you know, over the last 10 years, in which China has been trying to make reforms to its death penalty system, that it's gone from a five-digit figure, meaning above 10,000, to now a four-digit figure in the thousands. And so we think that's probably the right ballpark. But the exact number is unknown, and this is because China continues to conceal the true extent of its execution system. This is despite pledges to become more open, more transparent, to end secretive work, and despite probably some fairly effective reforms in decreasing the use of the death penalty. But of course, we don't know to what extent those have been successful. Amnesty International is asking that the Chinese government come clean and tell the world how many people it's sentencing to death per year and how many people it's executing.
What kind of people are being put to death? What kind of crimes are they convicted of?
You know, China has actually lowered the number of crimes punishable by death from 68 a few years ago to now 46. they've made progress in that regard. But in practice, what we see is that the death penalty is mainly used for only a handful of crimes. Intentional killing, robbery, rape, and drug offenses. And this is a very worrying one because drug offenses do not meet international thresholds for countries that still use the death penalty of most serious crimes. You know, many of the people in China are simply drug mules or in some cases have been trafficked into this or made unwise decisions. But, you know, executing them is a very harsh punishment for that. And what we also found is that none of the foreign nationals who have been executed in recent years, and Chinese media have even reported that they've been executed, were included in that database. So that's another worrying trend, especially as other countries and China want to increase their cooperation to curb drug use.
That's William Nee of Amnesty International. He said the government has implemented safeguards to protect those accused of capital crimes, while in 2007, the Supreme People's Court was given exclusive jurisdiction to review and approve all death penalty cases. And he said, ironically, with no accurate figures, it's hard to know how well such reforms are working. Nobel Peace Prize winner Malala Yousafzai reaffirmed her commitment to educating girls and empowering women at the United Nations this week, where she was officially named a United Nations Messenger of Peace, with a special focus on girls' education. VOA's Elizabeth Cherneff has more.
It takes great pride and pleasure to me in proclaiming Malala Yousafzai a United Nations Messenger of Peace.
Students and dignitaries gathered at the United Nations to recognize activist Malala Yousafzai as a UN Messenger of Peace. The 19-year-old brought her message to New York on Monday with a special focus on the women and girls of her native country, Pakistan.
I'm hopeful and I encourage all young girls there that you need to stand up as well. You need to believe in yourselves. And you are the real change makers. If you do not stand up, change will not come.
Malala first made international headlines in 2012 after being shot by Taliban gunmen in retaliation for her advocacy of girls' education. She survived the attack and in 2013 launched the Malala Fund with her father to help raise awareness and empower women around the world. In December of 2014, when she was only 17 years old, Malala became the youngest recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize. Since then, she has traveled the world sharing her story while advocating for the rights of women and girls. Malala has visited refugee camps in Lebanon and Jordan and touched on the global refugee crisis, emphasizing the universal need to educate children around the world.
And when you ask a Syrian refugee child, what is your dream? And they would tell you, that I want to be a doctor or a teacher, and I want to get my education, and I want to go back to my country and help rebuild it. So that is their dream, that is their passion, that they want to go back to their country. They want to see peace in their country, which is something that we take for granted because we are living in peace every day.
Fostering equality, education, and peace is the message that Malala says she will continue to push for in the months and years to come.
And thank you so much.
Elizabeth Cherneff, VOA News.
This is VOA.
When news breaks, VOA Africa is there. Bringing you news as it happens. Listen to Africa News Tonight, Monday through Friday at 1600 and 1800 UTC. And our five-minute newscasts come to you at the top of each hour. VOA Africa, your trusted source of information.
Hi, I'm Nikki Strong. You love music? How about Blake Shelton and Carrie Underwood? Or Merle Haggard and Loretta Lynn? Experience the best in country music on Country Hits USA. I bring you some country rock, outlaw, a little hillbilly, contemporary, and more, with a dash of entertainment news, too. So join me for Country Hits USA on VOA 1, the voice of America.
This is International Edition. VOA's Border Crossings host Larry London joins me with details of the release of a new single by the member of a popular group.
Today we're going to talk about a member of one of the most popular boy bands in music these days, One Direction's very own Harry Styles, and certainly one of the best-looking and most popular members of One Direction. He's going to make his big-screen major film debut this coming up July in a film called Dunkirk, which is set in the war in the 1940s. He had to shave all of his long hair off just for this particular role. But he's got his first song now in over a year and a month since One Direction went on hiatus. He's the latest member of One Direction to go solo. And we'll check out the song, Sign of the Times. And then I'll tell you all about Harry Styles and his upcoming album.
Just stop your crying, it's a sign of the times. Welcome to the final show. I hope you're wearing your best clothes.
So tell us more about this upcoming album by Harry Styles.
This is Harry Styles' first song off of his upcoming album, Sign of the Times. A lot of people have been anxiously awaiting this song. Zayn left One Direction at the start of the year and has since gone on to have a very successful solo career. He has no plans to return to One Direction. The other guys in the band are on hiatus. They say they're going to do solo stuff, and then One Direction will return. They've promised their fans, the One Directioners, that they will reunite and resume. Although it's hard to imagine that because each guy is doing a solo album and solo projects and they're moving very slowly in that direction. Niall had a song called This Town. He's only got one song so far and it did very well. And he said he's taking his time with his album. And Lewis Tomlinson just put out a song with Steve Aoki a month ago. And Liam is working on some new music and just became a daddy with his girlfriend, Cheryl Cole, a former member of the girl band Girls Aloud. And so Harry Styles is the latest to actually release a solo song, which we just played. Now, there's no word on the title of the album or the exact release date, but it comes with a little bit of controversy already because when it first came out last Friday, Spotify made an error in how they uploaded it to their website domain. So when people went to stream the song, to download the song, Sign of the Times, they couldn't do it.
Oh.
So that, you know, nothing puts a kink in the armor quicker than your inability to actually purchase the song you're trying to purchase.
Absolutely.
And so Columbia Records very upset about it, but there's still talk that it is going to be the song to dethrone Ed Sheeran from the number one spot in the UK. So we'll see if that actually comes to pass. But it's certainly going to be up near the top of the charts when it actually makes its chart appearance this week. Harry, you know, there's no word on what his plans are as far as touring goes, if he is planning a tour or not. But he said he's already recorded several solo songs. This is the first to be released, but there are several already in the can. And, of course, he's going to be promoting Dunkirk, the film.
Yes.
And there's talk of him getting a role in a Disney film as well. So he's a handsome lad. And he's well on his way to a successful solo career, if that's the direction that he wants to stay in. But he promises to be back with One Direction.
And with the acting career as well.
Yes, he's going to be popular. He's going to be hot. And things are just getting started. Interesting thing about One Direction is it was a year ago in March that they took their hiatus. And yet they were last year's most profitable group, making over $100 million. And yet they really didn't work that hard.
Yeah.
So it's kind of amazing. I guess you don't have to work that hard to make a lot of money if you're in the band One Direction.
At least for some people. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thanks a lot, Larry. That's Larry London. He's the host of VOA's Border Crossings.
Just stop your crying. It's a sign of the times. We got to get away from
That is the music of Harry Styles. Well, a new study says climate change could cause stronger turbulence for airline passengers. A researcher at the University of Reading in England says turbulence is strong enough to catapult unbuckled passengers and crew around the aircraft cabin. It could become two or three times more common. Now, Paul Williams, who conducted the research, said for most passengers, light turbulence is nothing more than an annoying inconvenience that reduces their comfort. But for nervous flyers, even light turbulence can be distressing. He says, however, even the most seasoned frequent flyers may be alarmed at the prospect of a 149% increase in severe turbulence, which frequently hospitalizes air travelers and flight attendants around the world. Specifically, researchers use supercomputer models to look at how wintertime transatlantic clear air turbulence at an altitude of 12 kilometers will change when there's twice as much carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. Now, that could happen by the end of this century. The models show light turbulence could increase by 59%, light to moderate turbulence could jump by 75%, moderate to severe turbulence could rise by 127%, and severe turbulence, the most scary of all, could bounce a whopping 149%. The reason, according to the researchers, is that climate change is generating stronger wind shears in the jet stream. Well, that's kind of terrifying for those of you who are frequent flyers. Well, that's our show. Please remember to visit our website at voanews.com. I'm Sarah Williams. Thanks so much for joining us.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
According to the Famine Early Warning Systems Network, or FEWSNET, in 2017, some 70 million people across 45 countries will need emergency food assistance. Severe drought and economic instability are part of the problem, but so is violent conflict. Indeed, it's important to stress that these crises are largely man-made with other compounding factors, said Matthew Nims, acting director of USAID's Office of Food for Peace. This is certainly true of South Sudan, Nigeria, and Yemen. Famine was declared in parts of South Sudan in late February, while Nigeria and Yemen are at high risk of famine. In South Sudan, the civil war that began in December 2013 as a consequence of the power struggle between President Salva Kiir and Vice President Riek Machar escalated into a civil war. An estimated 5.5 million people, nearly half of South Sudan's population, will face life-threatening hunger due to this man-made crisis. In Nigeria, an estimated 5.2 million people will face severe food insecurity by June, particularly those displaced in Borno State. There are signs that famine likely occurred in 2016 and may be ongoing in parts of the state that humanitarian actors are unable to reach, said Acting Director Nims. The United States, said Mr. Nims, has provided nearly $386 million since fiscal year 2016 for people affected by the ongoing crisis in the Lake Chad Basin region. In Yemen, over 17 million people are food insecure, 7 million of whom are in need of emergency food assistance. Starting in fiscal year 2016, the U.S. government has contributed nearly $432 million in humanitarian assistance to Yemen, said Mr. Nims. In South Sudan, the United States has not waited for a famine declaration to intervene and will continue to respond robustly to save as many lives as possible. The U.S. is the single largest provider of humanitarian assistance to South Sudan, having provided more than $2.1 billion since the start of the conflict in December 2013. We remain committed to providing humanitarian assistance around the world as both a moral imperative and as a direct benefit to the well-being of the United States.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.